then? Agnes stopped. Oh, no, she said. That was too easy. I don't trust you.
Don't trust me, said Granny. You're saying you don't trust me?
Yes, I don't. You'll find a way to wriggle around it.
I never wriggle, said Granny. It's Nanny Ogg who thinks we ought to have a third witch. I reckon life's difficult enough without some girl cluttering up the place just because she thinks she looks good in a pointy hat.
There was a pause. Then Agnes said, I'm not falling for that one either. It's where you say I'm too stupid to be a witch, and I say, oh no, I'm not, and you end up winning again. I'd rather be someone else's voice than some old witch with no friends and having everyone frightened of me and being nothing more than just a bit cleverer than other people and not doing any real magic at all. Granny put her head on one side.
Seems to me you're so sharp you might cut yourself, she said. All right, when it's all over, I'll let you go your own way. I won't stop you. Now, show me the way to Mr. Bucket's office.
Nanny smiled her jolly wrinkled old apple smile. Now you just hand it over, Walter, she said. No harm in letting me see it, is there? Not old Nanny.
Can't see it till it's finished.
Well now, said Nanny, hating herself for dropping the atom bomb, I'm sure your mum wouldn't want you to hear that you've been a bad boy, would she? Expressions floated over Walter's waxen features as he struggled with several ideas at once. Finally, without a word, he thrust the bundle at her, his arms trembling with tension.
There's a good boy, said Nanny.
She glanced at the first few pages and then moved them nearer to the light.
Hmm.
She treadled the harmonium for a while and played a few notes with her left hand. They represented most of the musical notes she knew how to read. It was a very simple little theme, such as might be picked out on the keyboard with one finger.
Hey.
Her lips moved as she read the narrative.
Well now, Walter, she said, isn't this a sort of opera about a ghost who lives in an opera house?
She turned a page.
Very smart and debonair he is. Oh, he's got a secret cave, I see.
She played another short riff. Catchy music, too. She read on, occasionally saying things like, well, well, and lawks. Every now and again, she'd give Walter an appraising look.
I wonder why the ghost wrote this, Walter, she said after a while. Quiet sort of chap, ain't he? Put it all into his music.
Walter stared at his feet.
There's going to be a lot of trouble, Mrs. Ogg.
Oh, me and Granny will sort it all out, said Nanny.
It's wrong to tell lies, said Walter.
Probably, said Nanny, who'd never let it worry her up to now.
It wouldn't be right for our mum to lose her job, Mrs. Ogg.
It wouldn't be right, no.
The feeling drifted over Nanny that Walter was trying to put across some sort of message.
What sort of lies would it be wrong to tell, Walter?
Walter's eyes bulged.
Lies about things you see, Mrs. Ogg, even if you did see them.
Nanny thought it was probably time to present the Oggish point of view.
It's all right to tell lies if you don't think lies, she said.
He said our mum would lose our job and I'd be locked up if I said, Mrs. Ogg.
Did he? Which he was he?
The ghost, Mrs. Ogg.
I reckon Granny ought to have a good look at you, Walter, said Nanny. I reckon your mind's all tangled up like a ball of string what's been dropped.
She pedalled the harmonium thoughtfully.
Was it the ghost that wrote all this music, Walter?
It's wrong to tell lies about the room with the sax in it, Mrs. Ogg.
Ah, thought Nanny, that'd be down here, would it?
He said I wasn't to tell anyone.
Who did?
The ghost, Mrs. Ogg.
But you're the...
Nanny began, and then tried another way.
Ah, but I ain't anyone, she said. Anyway, if you was to go to this room with the sax and I was to follow you, that wouldn't be telling anyone, would it? It wouldn't be your fault if some old woman followed you, would it?
Walter's face was an agony of indecision, but erratic though his thinking might have been, it was no match for Nanny Ogg's meretricious duplicity. He was up against a mind that regarded truth as a reference point, but certainly not as a shackle. Nanny Ogg could think her way through a corkscrew in a tornado without touching the sides. "Anyway, it's all right if it's me," she added for good measure. In fact, he probably meant to say, "Except for Mrs. Ogg," only he forgot. Slowly, Walter reached out and picked up a candle. Without saying a word, he walked out of the door and into the damp darkness of the cellars. Nanny Ogg followed him, her boots making squelching noises in the mud. It didn't seem like much of a distance. As far as Nanny could work out, they were no longer under the opera house, but it was hard to be sure. Their shadows danced around them and they walked through other rooms, even more dark and dripping than the ones they'd been in. Walter stopped in front of a pile of timber that glistened with rot and pulled a few of the spongy planks aside. There were some sacks neatly piled. Nanny kicked one and it broke. In the flickering candlelight, all that she could really see were sparkles of light as the cascade poured out, but there was no mistaking the gentle metallic scraping of lots of money. Lots and lots of money. Enough money to suggest very clearly that it belonged to either a thief or a publisher, and there didn't seem to be any books around.
"What's this, Walter?"
"It's the ghost's money, Mrs. Ogg."
There was a square hole in the opposite corner of the room. Water glinted a few inches below. Beside the hole were half a dozen containers of various sorts, old biscuit tins, broken bowls and the like. There was a stick or possibly a dead shrub in each one.
"And those, Walter, what are those?"
"Rose bushes, Mrs. Ogg."
"Down here? But nothing could grow..." Nanny